In the name of Jesus, my brothers and sisters in Christ, today we want to talk about one of the most essential parts of being human, and that's communication. I mean, just a quick show of hands, how many of you out there today have heard that in your marriage, the most successful thing for you to do to keep your marriage together is communication? Right? And you look around a little bit, this is something we all seem to know. You put your hands down. We seem to understand, at least on a fundamental level, that communication is absolute key in our relationships with our spouse. But that also goes for all other relationships, whether it be with our kids, our teachers, our co-workers, our pastor, our church. Communication is essential. That is because communication is the only way that we can pass on ideas and information to somebody else. Communication is so essential to us of being human that the personal development guru Paul J. Meyer once said that communication, the human element, is the key to personal and career success. And in other words, what Meyer is saying is, if you would like to have a successful personal life and career, you need to master the art of communication, sending out your ideas to somebody else. This is probably why we have an infinite number of books, it seems, on communication. We have an infinite number of videos and anything else about how to communicate effectively, whether that be how to communicate love and affection to your spouse, or maybe love and affection to your child. Maybe it's about how to communicate with your child's teacher, how to communicate in a way that is effective so that they know the plans and the things that you want for your child. From a pastoral perspective, we have all sorts of books on communication on how to effectively preach, which is a form of communication. As we pass on the gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are piling and pulling out of the scriptures and deliver it to your ears. Entire books are written about this, and there's entire sections on communication within your bookstores and within your libraries. Because it's so important. Again, it's how we pass on information. And it's the only way that we can get other people to engage with our thoughts. It's the only way that we can get other people to kind of pay attention and understand where we're coming from. It's the only way that we have to interact with one another. It's the great human element. No other creature does communication as well as we do. And quite frankly, we don't always do it all that well. Because we also know, as important as communication is, we also know what happens with a breakdown of communication, right? We've seen the fights. We've seen wars start because we've miscommunicated. We have seen the fights happen in our marriage and sometimes break them down. We have seen what miscommunication can do, and you would think that because we can see these things, we would literally spend our everyday waking trying to figure out how to communicate better. Because we would realize how much better that would make us in our world today. But communication is difficult. And that's why all these books that are written, they also seem to kind of miss the point. They don't agree. Everybody has a different theory on what it means to communicate well. But as I mentioned, we really don't communicate well. We have problems with communication. I have problems with communication. Everybody has problems with communication, whether that's with your spouse, with your coworkers, with my parishioners, whether that's with your pastor, whether that's with your teacher, whether that's, you know, anywhere in your, we have miscommunications that we go through. But why? Why is that? It should be so simple to communicate. It should be so simple to come down and sit together and talk as people. But it seems to be becoming a really difficult part. Well, as Christians, we have the answer. It's because of those inward inclinations of sin and the flesh, of pride and arrogance and anger. It's because of a lack of self-control. Maybe it's because of a selfishness that is deep-rooted within ourselves. We miscommunicate all the time. Maybe there's jealousy and strife. All of these things can keep us from communicating effectively with other people. Yet there's also a simple case that's just as bad. Sometimes we have to admit we don't know how to communicate with somebody else. We don't know how to communicate effectively with another person. And that can be, as I said, just as big of a problem because we're still not communicating clearly with one another. The Bible makes it very clear, though, that communication between God and man not just man and man, but God and man, is severely and utterly broken. And it's broken because of those sins. It's not just broken because of the sins that we have between one another. That definitely breaks the relationship for God, because we no longer see that other person as somebody who God created and redeemed through Jesus Christ. But it's just simply broken between God and us because of our own sin and desire. Because of our pride and our arrogance, because of those things, we don't necessarily see what God has in store for us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what happens in our lesson from the Tower of Babel from Genesis chapter 11. After God had saved the entire world through 8 people, through the ark, although God had put an end to evil before that was happening up until that point, although God had given all the people everything, they have one language, and what do they choose to do with it? What do we choose to do when we have complete and utter ability to communicate with one another? We choose to use it on ourselves. And the people forget God. The people forget what He has done for them. The people have forgotten who they are and whose they are. And so they start building temples and towers and the like for themselves to declare their greatness and how good they are. And their pride and their arrogance and their selfishness continues to go. And that pride and arrogance will eventually lead to anger, maybe against one another. It will lead to individuality. It will start to lead to this is how I want to do it, and everybody else is wrong. It will start to lead to a breakdown of communication, even though they're all still talking together right now. And so God, looking down on this, says, I see what the people are doing. And if we let them continue to go the way that they're going, there will be no end to what they're going to do to one another. And so God does what He does throughout history, even to this very day. He limits and He checks how far evil's going to go. He goes down and stirs up their language, and the people separate and they start going out. And yes, this indeed does start causing wars and miscommunication between people. But it limits how far the evil and pride and arrogance of man as one was going to go, like the days before the flood. And so now that man had separated, of course there's going to be miscommunication, because they're all speaking in different languages and the like. And yet God uses it as for His purpose. He uses it because He is planning to so that man will not wipe himself off, and He has a greater plan to send the Savior of the world through these very people. Here at the Tower of Babel, we just get a little picture. We get just a little insight into how communication can really break down, not just between people, but between God and man. People scattered, families become separated, and the people, in essence, become even more disconnected with God, not hearing His word, and continuing on in their pride and arrogance. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we still have that problem today. Our communication with one another is anything but perfect. It's often broken, yes, by pride and arrogance, but other things as well. It is, we are too prideful to admit our faults a lot of the time. And we're too afraid to admit that our pride and arrogance becomes an idol in our lives, like it did for those people back at the Tower of Babel, or Babel, as a lot of you say. Because that pride and arrogance starts to replace the fear of God with the fear of man. And we have to continue to show ourselves as supreme, and we have to continue to show our communication as being the chief way. And then what happens? Strife ensues, peace is broken. Anger comes in, things are destroyed, all because we don't communicate well with one another. And yes, we do the same thing with our Heavenly Father, because the greater issue here is communication is broken between Him and us because of our sin. But God would not allow it to continue to be that way. When we could no longer communicate to God because of our bondage to sin and death, He went ahead and communicated to us. And He sent His Son so that we would see Him face to face, and He had His words recorded by the people who spoke to Him face to face, so that God could interact with us once again. He restored those bounds of communication that was broken by our sinfulness. And His Son, through His ministry, as He walked around amongst us, started drawing all sin and all brokenness to Himself. He brought your sins of pride. He brought your sins of arrogance to Himself. And He hung them all on the cross on His own shoulders, so that there would be peace between you and God. And he didn't stop there. But he would send his Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance all that he had done. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. It's a great thing. The Holy Spirit's job is to actually bring to us remembrance of Jesus, of his words, of his actions, of all those things that he does. He calls us into the faith. He gathers us. He enlightens us. And how does he do that? He communicates to us. He communicates to us Jesus Christ. And he shows us a far better way. Namely, something that has already been done for us. And the Holy Spirit enters in and calls to remembrance in our own hearts and minds the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. This is the job of the Holy Spirit and why he comes, especially on Pentecost. We talk about Pentecost and we got caught up in the tongues of fire and all the languages. But what is he really doing? They're speaking in all these languages not to confuse the people, as some people might be saying and trying to claim, but to speak clearly about Jesus Christ. These are not the intelligent babbles of people. These are actual languages, tongues that are going to people that can hear in their mother tongue, that can know in the most comforting way possible the gospel of Jesus Christ in a language that is familiar to them. He comes intimately and close, not in Greek, not in Hebrew, not in Latin. Those things are all good and great languages to learn. I love them to death. But here's the thing. He comes to you to this day in your language, in your tongue, to call to remembrance what Jesus has done for you. That's the gift of how God communicates back to us. When we had no ability to communicate with him, he opened the lines of communication to us. So many people are trying to find in their prayer lives effective ways to communicate to God. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to get it wrong. But God always gets it right. And in our life, he communicates back to us via the Holy Spirit and his word so that we can believe in his son. That's the whole point of the Holy Spirit, is to point us back to Jesus Christ. As he tells his own apostles, the Holy Spirit will call you, cause you to remember all that I have spoken to you. Will cause you to remember my great love for you so that we can effectively then communicate that great love back out to one another. The gospel changes our heart. And now no longer do we have to worry or be concerned about how you communicate to the other person, your brother and sister sitting next to you or your spouse. You have a means of communication to speak back to them in the love of Jesus. This is how we give out and dole out that forgiveness to the world around us. That's what it means to live within the gospel. And that's exactly what happens on Pentecost. As the people hear and receive, they dole it back out and give it out in spades. Next thing that we'll know, if we continue to read from this text, Peter stands up and he preaches about Christ Jesus crucified. Repentance and faith. And that there is hope in Jesus Christ alone, even for those who nailed Jesus to the cross. And if there's hope for them, brothers and sisters, there is hope for you today. There is definitely more than hope. There is life and salvation in Jesus alone. Amen.